Tonight we're going to start off with some rather astounding announcements. This is official news that has been released by the Temple Institute from Rabbi Ariel. And there are three different pieces of news that I want to give you here. There was a temple feast. By the way, this came out in the Route 7 news service, which is one of the major news services that you can get online. Nearly 1,000 people participated in a unique dinner last night in honor of the Jerusalem Temple and Jewish presence on the Temple Mount. Samples of music and instruments that may have been sounded by the Levites in the temple were played, and speakers described how Jews would ascend to the temple with their sacrifices. Rabbi Dov Lior explained that many rabbis permit the ascent to the Temple Mount even now, after proper halakhic preparations have been made, ritual immersion, knowing the permitted locations, etc. M.K. Rabbi Benny Elon bemoaned the fact that the Temple Mount is ineffectively not under our control. He said, "How can we not cry when we hear the police cheerfully report on the Muslim Ramadan prayers at the site of our holy temple?" Last but not least, news. Rav Ariel, that is Rabbi Ariel of the Temple Institute, announced that the Sudat HaMikdash, the Temple Institute has a sample maker altar for the Kohanim to practice going up on. In other words, they are now have a full life-size altar that they are practicing for the temple services. And secondly, a red heifer was born in Kfar Hasidim. So there's a red heifer in Israel now. Major news.
May I ask a question? Is Trent Lott, who's in the Congress of the United States, is he related to Clyde Lott of Mississippi?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Okay, one more. Ascend the Temple Mount under Rob Elbaum's guidance. Please bring Yom Kippur non-leather shoes and your Tudat Zuhut or passport and go to the mikvah beforehand. And it tells you that that they will... you can go in through the Mizrabi gate. That they have almost 1,000 people a day, Jews going into the onto the Temple Mount a day now, in an Orthodox style. Okay, it's very significant. Okay, so I have no idea where this kibbutz is. The kibbutz, if you want the name of it once again, is Kfar, which means village.
K-E-F-A-R,
Hasidim, H-A-S-S-I-D-I-M. It is ultra-Orthodox. Village of the Hasidim is what it means. I'm just assuming it's ultra-Orthodox. Okay, now we are going to finish up on the Tzitzit, and hopefully we'll get into some very, very heavy things tonight. Okay? We are basically what I would say loaded for bear. Okay, where we had left off on the Talit, we were talking about the different attributes. We had listed the 13 attributes of God's mercy, is that correct? I'm going to go through those once again. The first attribute, because we went through them very rapidly at the end. The first one is God. The second one is merciful. The third is gracious. The fourth is slow. And number five, to anger. Six, abundant in mercy. Seven is truth. And eight is keeping mercy. Number nine, to the thousandth generation. Number 10, forgiving sin. Number 11, rebellion. Number 12, and era. Era, E-R-R-O-R, era. And number 13, and cleansing. These are taken from Exodus 3, verse 46. It's wrong in the book, okay? I don't have a pen to make a note in my thing here. All right. Now, if you'll remember the five knots and the eight strings of the tallit, of the tzitzit particularly, represent these 13 attributes of mercy. Both of them represent the thread that links man to God's protection against evil. Both parts of the tzitzit. Okay, both represent the thread that links man to God's protection against evil. Through the tzitzit of God's tallit, an individual can pull himself out of the mire of sin and return to God. Okay, now, we're going to make a new list. These are the 13 commandments that serve especially to bind us to God. So you can number 1 to 13. Number 1, belief in God. 2, fear of God. 3, love of God. 4, belief in God's unity. 5, study of Torah. 6, wearing tefillin. 7, wearing tzitzit. 8, affixing the mezuzah. 9, circumcision. 10, Sabbath observance. 11, prayer. 12, festival observance. And 13, the Shema. As I mentioned, these are 13 commandments that serve as a particular bond between God and man. Now, that is not to exclude all the other commandments that also bind man to God. But they do so in a more general manner. These 13 commandments which are in particular to serve towards binding man to God, they are represented by the five knots and eight strings of the tzitzit. Now, if you'll remember, there are 613 commandments, so you have 600 commandments left when you have excluded these 13. And I'll read you a sentence here. This pertains particularly to the mundane things of the world, the other 600 commandments, representing the 6 days of creation. We therefore have 600 commandments, 100 for each day of creation. When you add the 600 commandments for the mundane, plus the 600 that particularly link man to God, or the 13 that particularly link man to God, you have the 613. Now we're going to talk about gematria. On your sheets that you have, that I handed out last week, You have a term, the Lashon HaKodesh. It means the holy language. The Lashon HaKodesh, the holy language. One thing that is unique about Hebrew is that even its linguistic structure teaches tremendously important lessons. Now, I want to read to you two paragraphs just for people that haven't been here. Well, understand, it's worded as simply as I could possibly hope to word it, but you don't need to take notes on this. In this case, the lesson is fairly clear. Both words and numbers convey information. In the case of words, this is obvious. A statement such as, David eats bread, tells us something and thus conveys information. We communicate with words, and through them, we convey information to one another. Numbers also convey information. When I say 3 plus 5 equal 8, I'm making a statement of fact, very much like the statement, roses are red. I am telling you something and thus communicating information. As you might know, we communicate with computers entirely by means of numbers and symbols. There's also an entire language of higher mathematics. Now, we handed out last week a paper giving you the numerical value of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Do you have that paper? Daryl, do you have some extras for anybody that might not have it, such as me? I have it somewhere. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Okay. We've already spoken about there on the tallit there being four corners, and then through the tzitzit we have the five knots, the eight strings, the 39 windings, and the 613 commandments. So why don't you write those numbers down, or write this specifically down: four corners, five knots, eight strings, 39 windings, and 613 commandments. Okay, the numerical value of the word tzitzit is 600. We were going to put this on, we have it on a transparency, but the bulb is burned out apparently on the overhead. So we'll just work it out on the board. Okay, I'll write it down for you. You can follow with me. Your first letter in tzitzit is the word, the letter zadi, and its numerical value is 90. Then you have a yod. Its numerical value is 10. You have another zadi. So it is another 90. And then you have another yod. So it is 10. Then you have a tav, which the numerical number, the value of a tav is 400, so it equals to 600. So you take the 600 of the word tzitzit, add the 13 to it for your number of the strings and the knots, and you come up with 613. Okay, now we're going to take another example. This is the word hashmal. Let me write this for you. Now, this is the word that you have in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 4, the hashmal of God. In fact, that's what we've been studying the zitzit for, is to arrive at some understandings concerning the hashmal. Okay, hashmal. You spell it chet, sheen, mem, lamed. Hashmal. Now, we're going to put another word, malbush. You remember the malbush? This is the word for the garment of God, is the malbush. Mem, lamed, beit, vav, sheen. Malbush. Okay, let's do the gematria of hashmal. Now remember, according to Jewish understanding, if you arrive at two words that have the same gematria, then they were linked by God. Okay, in other words, that there is a tie between the two of them. So, for hashmal, your first letter is going to be the chet. And it equals 8. Then the sheen, which equals to 300. And then the mem, which equals to 40. And then the lamed, which equals to 30, giving you a total of 378. Now, when you take the word malbush, you have a mem equaling 40, a lamed equaling 30. Let me write the Hebrew letters over here. A bet equaling 2, a vav equaling 6, and a sheen equaling 300, for a total of 378. Okay, I'd like to read Rabbi Kaplan's summation of this part. To take another example in our discussion of the mysterious word hashmal, we pointed out that it represented the elements of God's providence that protected against evil. We also mentioned that it was identical to God's garment, because both hashmal and malbush, the Hebrew word for garment, have the same numerical value. Another important place that we see gematria coming into play in the case of the zitzit is in the windings of the zitzit. Now, if you'll remember, there are 39 windings. We have the windings, you should have in your notes, allude to God's unity. The windings allude to God's unity, which binds everything together. The expression God is one is considered the most important expression in the Bible. God is one. If you remember, the most important verse is Zechariah chapter 14, verse 13. In that day the Lord will be one in His name, one. Or it's 14, verse 9, excuse me. And also you have in the Shema, Shema Israel, Adonai, Eloheinu, Adonai, Echad, Hero Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Okay, God is one. Okay, so you would say, this would be, we would say, Hashem Echad. So, we have the letters of the name of God. The Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. I'm not going to write the letters out. I'll put them this way. Just Yod. I'm not going to write them out in Hebrew. Okay? We have, let me put up here. Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. This is the name of God. Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. Okay, so your first letter is Yod, and that equals 10. Hey, equals 5. So you have a total of 15 here. Then you have Vav, equals 6. And Hey, equals 5, which is a total of 11, which gives you a total of 15 and 11 gives you 26. Then when you take the word Echad, Echad is going to be Aleph, which is 1, Het, which is 8, Dalet, which is 4, giving you a total of 13. And when you take 26 and 13, you equal 39. And that is the reason for the 39 windings on the Tzitzit, is to remind you that Hashem Echad, that God is one. Yes?
Get back on the Hashem on the Mabush, 378. Okay. How often would that be the numerical value of another word?
I don't know. I really do not know how many words would come up with a numerical value of 378.
Would it be very few?
It would be very few. Okay, see, when you get up like in the latter letters of the alphabet, Shin, Resh, Tav. Well, a Resh is 200, a Shin is 300, a Tav is 400. I mean, you start jumping into the mega numbers pretty quick. Okay, now, there is a reason for the subtotals. You remember on your windings, you had windings of 7, 8, 11, and 13. You had 5 knots, but your windings in between the first knot and the second knot, 7 windings, then between the second and third, 8 windings, between the third and fourth, 11 windings, between the fourth and fifth, 13 windings. Yes, on the Tzitzit. If you weren't here last week, you just about have to get that one in order to understand this one. Okay, now there is a Talmudic injunction that says that no group can contain less than 7, which represents the perfection of the physical world, which was created in 7 days. The second group, so the first group of 7 alludes to the creation of the world. The second group of 8 alludes to the transcendental, that which is above, that we have the 8th day, which is the Olam Haba. We go into the eternal. You had that a child was circumcised on the 8th day, and the over and over 8 is used in the scriptures, alludes to that which is above. When you put the first, when you add 7 and 8 together, it is equal to the Yod He, which is 15 for the first two letters of God's name. Now your third group has 11 windings. Which is the numerical value of the last two letters of God's name. So your first three groups have 26 windings, which is the total number of God's name. The last group, which has 13, is the maximum number allowed in any group. And, as you see, is the numerical value of the word echad, the word for one. The last group also alludes to the 13 attributes. And the 13 attributes are seen as all, they are seen as being manifestations of God's ultimate, the 13 attributes. Do what?
I said, boy, that boy is a big doctrine.
Okay, Now, the word echad alludes to the Talit in another manner. You remember that echad is spelled Aleph Het Dalet, which you can see right here. Aleph Het Dalet. Aleph has the numerical value of one, which alludes to the one Talit containing the tzitzit. The ket is eight, which represents the eight strings. And finally, the dalet is four, alluding to the four corners of the talit. Okay. We're not going to go into this one very deep. But if you take all four corners of the talit with the zitzit on each corner, you have a total of 32 strings. Okay, if you write the number 32 in Hebrew, it is two letters, Lamed Bet. It would be written this way. Lamed Bet. And that is the number 32. It does not equal 32. That is 32. Do you understand? That is not a gematria to total up to 32. That is how you write 32. Okay? Lamed Bet spells a Hebrew word. If you put vowels under it, it is the word lev, which is the word for heart. Therefore, the zitzit are understood to represent the heart strings constantly beating, yearning, and drawing one toward God.
Tradition, when they first started the windings, did they, this numerical come up later, or was this intentional?
That I can't answer. What I can answer is that by the time of Yeshua, this is the way it was done. So it predated his coming for the zitzit being set up this way. Now, if it was set up this way, Sinai, I don't have any information. I don't know. Okay, now, the only thing that we have left to discuss concerning tzitzit, and we're going to do the minor, just the slightest discussion on this, is the tekelet, the thread of blue. The tekelet comes from a shellfish known as the chalazon, C-H-I-L-A-Z-O-N, chalazon. It was a very rare animal, and the tekelet itself, the blue thread, was very expensive. The tekelet, of course, we lost the tekelet, the ability to produce it following the destruction of the temple. The There was a rabbi named from 1887 named Rabbi Gershon Henoch, H-E-N-O-C-H. He was a brilliant rabbi. He, by the time he was around 18 years old, had already published major papers. He set out to find the chalazon and how the dye was extracted. He wrote a book that was called the Shifuni, S-H-E-F-U-N-E-Y, Tumuney, T-E-M-U-N-E-Y, Chol, C-H-O-L, which means hidden treasures of the sand.